Time will come.
الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی سید المرسلین اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلى آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلى آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ. Welcome to another session of our program A Time Will Come. In this session, we will also look at a hadith narration which talks about an event near the end of times, or an event foretold by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Before we go on to the main focus or the main narration of today's session, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the importance, the blessings, the excellence of sending blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Whosoever would like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with him when he is present in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should send blessings upon me often. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad." No doubt, we all want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us when we are presented in the divine court. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look upon us with mercy. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We want to receive blessings and rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to attain salvation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. Simple. Send blessings upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam as often as you can. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to increase our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by sending blessings upon him. Moving on to our main theme of our session, A Time Will Come. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam mentioned a very powerful event or a very powerful situation which will take place or which will be seen near the end of time. I would like to share the summary of it with you. The very beginning of the hadith is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam mentions that a time will come upon the people. So he was talking about a time which had not come during the prophetic era. He was foretelling, he was relating an event that of the future. The event, the description of the event begins with the protection of Iman. The theme is how difficult it would be for one to protect his Iman. This is the initial theme of this hadith. And the summary is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that the only person who will succeed in protecting his Iman, generally he said people will struggle, people will not be able to, people of religion, people who follow religion, they won't be able to protect their Iman, except for the one who takes his religion, meaning for the protection of his religion, he goes from one mountain to another mountain, from one hole, meaning a cave, from one cave to another cave. So what is this person doing? He is not able to protect his religion in a normal way. He is segregating from the people. That's how difficult it will be to protect one's religion. Mountain to mountain, cave to cave. He is running away just to protect his Iman. This is how horrifying the condition of the people of religion will be in that time. So the question comes to mind, if protecting the religion is so difficult that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is saying that the man is going from mountain to mountain, from cave to cave, what kind of condition are we talking about? What will be happening in that time? Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam the hadith continues and he says, in that time, one shall not be able to earn without displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something we find very difficult to imagine, that the conditions will be such that a person who tries to work, earn income, he will not be able to earn without displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sins will be so prevalent. Societies, communities will be rife with sin. So much sin, that's something we can't really imagine. He continued, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, when this situation will occur, a man will be destroyed by his wife and children, or at the hands of his wife and children. And if he doesn't have wife and children, he will be destroyed by his parents, meaning parents who are living, obviously. And if he doesn't have parents, implying that they may have passed away, he will be destroyed by his relatives, or he will be destroyed by his neighbors. The Sahaba were shocked by this. They questioned the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how will this happen? Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they, whether they are referring to the wife and children, or parents, or relatives, or neighbors, whoever it is, they will make him feel ashamed of his financial difficulty. Because of his financial limitations, the wife, or the parents, or the neighbors, or the relatives, they will humiliate him. They will make him feel ashamed. And remember, man has a lot of pride in his character. Man, he has a lot of self-respect, dignity. It's a natural thing in him. He has a lot of self-dignity. And suddenly if he's bombarded with this comment that you're not earning enough, what you earn is nothing, you should be ashamed of the level of income that you have, you can imagine how he might feel. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that because of this at that time, so the Sahaba questioned, how will this happen? It will happen due to that man being embarrassed, made to feel ashamed by his financial difficulty or financial limitations. When this will happen, the man will take himself to places of destruction. We may see some signs or some reflections of this narration in our time today. Is it not the case that sometimes the husband may come home before he even sits down, before he even takes a breath of relief? His wife may come up to him with a whole list of things. We don't have this, we don't have this, you haven't bought this, you haven't bought that. We need this, we need this, we need this. His children may come up to him. Daddy, I don't have this, I need this. I need money for this occasion, or I need money for my educational needs, or I need money because I need to go out with my friends. Parents, we need money from you for this situation or for that situation. As soon as a man comes home, he faces all these situations. It is no surprise that that thought, that temptation may affect him. Maybe I need to take another path. Maybe I need to walk upon another path. They want money from me, and it's money that I don't have. So I might need to do other things to get this money. As soon as he starts thinking this, then he begins to consider sinful ways of attaining money. So whether that is through withholding certain things to make a profit, whether that is through deceiving other people, whether that is through stealing, any sinful way, any way of destruction. Our Prophet ﷺ said that because of this shame that he will feel because of his financial limitations, his financial difficulty, this will take him. This will make him go to places of destruction. And remember, one point to keep in mind here. Man or an individual is still responsible for his actions. Yes, we can face difficulties. But Allah has clearly mentioned in the Quran, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. We know that we shall never be burdened with a burden that we cannot bear, a burden that is beyond our capabilities. The test or trial is this, that when certain people are trying to make you feel ashamed of your financial situation, you should understand that this might be a trick from the devil. Don't let any temptation affect your mind. Don't let it take a place in your heart. You must understand this, because this will lead to destruction, as foretold by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's very important. So when a man comes home, if a wife has some requests or needs, then there is a way of doing things. Our Sharia has taught us this way. Generally speaking, if you don't want to follow a prescribed way, just be a bit of common sense, a bit of courtesy, a bit of wisdom. Wait for the man to come home, let him do what he needs to do, freshen up, have his meal, relax. When the time is right, express the request in a good way. You know, maybe something like, is it possible, do you think it's possible for us to spend some money on this need, or to buy a certain item? Would you think it's possible? Instead of saying, I need this, why haven't you got this? I told you so, I told you 2 weeks ago. The woman should be wise in the way she expresses her request, and the man should be responsible in the way he responds. Because the other complaint we have is, we tell our husbands so much. I've been telling him for the past few weeks, for months, but he doesn't, and it's something he can do, he doesn't do it. So a man can give an impression to his wife or to his family that he is lazy or irresponsible. A believer is active. A believer is in control. He has self-control and he's in control of the situation. If he's the head of the household, he takes that, he embraces that responsibility. He doesn't shy away from it. He doesn't turn away from his obligations. Remember, the underlying factor here is that sometimes family members may be affected by the love of this world, the greed which has slowly grown within them. So, longing for more things, this is actually a sign of hirs, greed. Greed is defined as not being satisfied with something and always desiring an increase of something. That's greed, hirs. Greed could be negative, it could be positive, it could be permissible. The hirs mahmud is when you have a feeling of yearning or longing to do more good deeds, to gain more knowledge, to read more Quran, to offer more voluntary prayers. The greed that is blameworthy or bad or disliked greed is related to any sinful actions. So having this feeling within you to do more and more sinful actions, any sin and every sin, having that feeling to do more, that insatiable desire to do more, that is the greed which is obviously blameworthy, sinful, disliked. And then you have a greed which is mubah. Mubah meaning that doing it or not doing it is the same. Sometimes we translate it or understand it as, interpret it as permissible. Eating, drinking, sleeping. Generally speaking, these actions are permissible. But the beauty of our religion, as the fuqaha have explained, that if you have a permissible action and you have an inclination to that permissible action, depending on the intention you make related to it, that permissible longing, I won't call it greed, because greed is always considered to be a negative word, or usually considered to be a negative word. That longing, if that permissible action has an appropriate intention related to it, then that permissible action can become rewarding and can become praiseworthy, a praiseworthy longing. And if that permissible action is related to a bad intention, then it was permissible first, but now it becomes sinful. One example that is given by Shaykh Abdul Haq, Muhaddith Delwi alayhi rahma, he writes that in permissible actions, in mubah actions, with good intention, or to by making a good intention, reward, one attains reward. He gives an example of applying fragrance. He says that if someone applies fragrance or some kind of perfume with the intention of fulfilling the sunnah, for example, to apply the fragrance before going to the masjid, that's one example. To honor in respect of the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can't behave in a masjid the way we behave at home. The masjid, the self-awareness, the level of self-awareness is a lot more. We know this. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he specified that don't sit with the people who talk about dunya in the masjid. They have nothing to do with Allah. So the masjid, as soon as you enter the masjid, or before entering the masjid, you consider your condition. You prepare yourself. And one of the sunnah elements is that you apply fragrance in respect of that blessed, sacred area where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped. So what one intention was that you put this fragrance on to fulfill the sunnah in respect of the masjid, and also to give a kind of refresh your mind, the wording he uses, because a sweet smell, according to some opinions, scholars have actually mentioned that it's a charitable act as well, because the person next to you or near you, when he smells that sweet smell, it's pleasing for him also. So when you go in this condition to the masjid and you stand near another Muslim, he will actually appreciate the fact that you have this sweet scent coming from you. So he continues and he says, and with the intention of removing any bad odors which may be near your Muslim brothers. This is a good intention also. For there may be other odors coming from other directions that may be unpleasant. But because you have applied this fragrance, your presence will actually save them from the foul odors which were surrounding them or near them. So all these things are good intentions. So Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Delwi alayhi rahma, he says that for every one of these intentions, there is a separate reward. So there's a separate reward for your intention of respecting the masjid. There is a separate reward for your intention of making it pleasing for your Muslim brother, and there's a separate reward for the general intention of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there's another side to this. This was the positive side. The positive side was to make good intentions with permissible actions, but there is a negative element also. If someone applies for fragrance, but his intention is a bad intention, is an egotistical intention, is a self-loving intention. He wants to be the focus of attention. He wants people to be, he wants people to think, wow, that's such a nice fragrance. So he wants people to praise him. So he is applying fragrance for to attain the praise of people. So Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah says, if anyone applies fragrance with the intention of seeking the praise of people, meaning people will say wow to him, or people will be amazed by the sweet smell of that fragrance. So it's really to draw their attention. So if that's his intention, or his intention is that people think that that must be a very expensive fragrance, you know, and by applying this fragrance, he actually wants to show them or impose himself upon them in such a way that he's quite a rich person or affluent person, that he can afford such a luxury, that he can afford something so expensive. So it's almost as if he wants this to be a factor which affects the people. So he wants the praise of the people, and he wants people to realize that he can afford that luxury. Any such intention related to this action. Imam Ghazali explains that if this is the intention, then in these situations, the person will be sinful. It's a sin. And the strange thing is, many may probably do this anyway. Don't say to someone, I want everyone to ask themselves, when you apply fragrance, when you apply this sweet smell, what is your intention? Hand on heart, most of the time, the answer may be, you want people to praise you for your fragrance. You want people to be amazed by the unique smell of your fragrance. There's no intention of following the sunnah or so that it's pleasing for your Muslim brother and bad odors are kept away from him. That thought won't even cross our minds. We're just thinking about how people will judge us or whether people will praise us or whether people will consider us as something special or whether we draw their attention or not. And these intentions are not the right intentions. Furthermore, he says that that fragrance on the Day of Judgment, it will have the foul smell of the dead. So it was fragrance in this world, but it will be a foul odor on the Day of Judgment which he carries. So to save ourselves from this punishment and from this embarrassment, we must ensure that even in permissible actions, our intentions are right. This is why it is mentioned that deeds are by intentions, or deeds are based upon intentions. We must know how to intend appropriately. Going back to the main focus of our session today, we must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy and grace upon us. We must seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deal with the difficulties and hardships of this world. We may not be living in the situation that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described, meaning the situation where we have to go from mountain to mountain to protect our religion, but there may be some elements of that tradition which apply to us. It may be the case that we may have felt some kind of embarrassment in the past due to our financial limitations. Let this narration be a warning, be a reminder that feeling that embarrassment, that is the first step. And then the last step is going to places of destruction. You may be thinking you're going to places to change the situation for the better, but you are going to places which will destroy you. These places will make the matter worse. For the greed that you may see in family members, that greed will never be satisfied. They will have no contentment. And then there will be no apparent end to your walk on this path of destruction. So we seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we live our lives according to the teachings of the Sharia. We hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to succeed in this world by following the prophetic instructions, by following the way of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, by reflecting upon the prophetic traditions, the verses of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Our time will come. A time will come.
A time will come.
A time will come.
A time will come.
A time will come.